The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Well, Tyler, Tim Connolly, the big news broke yesterday, possibly in talks with the Timberwolves on the same exact role, but maybe a stake in ownership, maybe a big pay raise there. However, the quote-unquote architect of this current Denver Nuggets team, right, is potentially out the door.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
You think he's gone? He's gone?
Yeah, I think this thing is about as donezo as he could possibly get for a handful of different reasons. Number one, there was a report that came out yesterday that allegedly Minnesota, they were considering offering him ownership. Now, I haven't seen that one backed up in too many different spots, so I'm not entirely sure on that one or not. If that was true, that's just done deal. I mean, what the heck are you supposed to do? How the heck do you compete with that? He's gone if ownership's involved. But the biggest reason why he's gone is because Tim Connolly, he was one of the lowest, if not the lowest paid executives in the NBA before the Wizards deal happened a couple of years back. Then he went out and he flirted with the Wizards. That was the hometown for him. He ended up saying no. I think he took less money to come back to Denver, although he did get a pay raise. Right. He got a pay raise, but it was less money than what the Wizards were offering. And it's my understanding that as it sits today, Tim Connolly, he's kind of just very average in regards to pay. And what Minnesota would be offering would be one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid execs in the NBA. And the chances of Kroenke stepping up to the plate and writing a pulling check is about zero. And quite frankly, it's a real missed opportunity for Kroenke because, you know, for years, Stan Kroenke and Josh Kroenke, they have put the fans second. That's what they've done. They put the fans second with this TV deal. I don't care. There's no other way to look at it. They've said they've not cared that much. And this is an opportunity to establish or reestablish a little bit of trust with your fan base when you've got a guy like Tim Connolly that is interested in other jobs. Other teams are interested in him. Just open up the check, write a blank check, and keep the guy around. That would not repair things. I wouldn't forgive him for what has happened, but it would go a long ways to proving to me that you're invested in this team and doing the right things.
And forgiving him for what? What are you speaking?
Oh, I'm talking about the TV deal specifically, very, very specifically. This has been years. This is just too long. This has gone on to the point where there's no question that if the Denver Nuggets or even the Colorado Avalanche, even if those two teams combined, if those were the only two teams that he owned, there's zero chance that this TV deal is going on so long. But it's just
That is very true, by the way.
It's just a part of his portfolio. And when it's a part of his portfolio, it's something that he's willing to deal with. And we've all had to suffer. I mean, there are young kids right now that would be Nuggets fans and Avalanche fans for the rest of their life based off the last couple seasons that we've had. And they don't even know that that it existed. They don't even know that we got an MVP.
Right. And you think back to even when you're a kid. And by the way, we'd like to thank our listeners in Sheridan for making 104.3 The Fan a part of your day. You think back to when you were a kid, and we kind of brought it up earlier. By the way, Matt Smith in for DMAC today. DMAC still in Boston, obviously, attending to his situation, and our thoughts are with him and his family, very much so. And we'll get into what you can do if you want to pay your respects even a little differently later, which I think is just awesome, what he's done here for just to honor his brother. Really.
Yeah.
Really, very cool stuff. But
yeah, no question.
To get back to the Nuggets real quick, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go on this, Tyler, and at least in my opinion, because and we'll get into it here over the course of the next 4 hours, but I'm not sure it's a sky is falling moment for the franchise. I understand why people feel that way, but we'll have to break down his track record, and I'm just curious to see if you feel like it is something the Nuggets absolutely have to do, you have to write the blank check, or this thing falls apart? Or is it something that, hey, look, Masai Ujiri left and everybody thought the world was ending then, and then Tim Connolly came in. So maybe there is somebody out there that can take this thing by the steering wheel and really guide it.
No, I think you're absolutely out of your mind if you think that there's just going to be another guy that falls out of the sky like Masai or Tim Connolly. That was absolute dumb luck that you got two of those guys back to back. And you've got a guy right now in Tim Connelly who is by far the most important guy in that organization, by far. It's not even close. What will end up happening is if Tim Connelly leaves, they'll likely give Booth a little bit of a slight pay raise. Probably won't even change his job title, probably just stay as the GM. Michael Malone will likely end up getting more power in the personnel side. He'll get a bigger voice. But to think that you could replace Tim Connelly, the guy that has had the vision, that saw this thing through. Denver's not like other NBA cities. You don't get to just bring in superstars. You don't get to just rebuild it overnight here in Denver. That's not the way it works. Guys don't come here. It is a flyover city in free agency, and Tim Connelly is a huge part of whatever success the Nuggets have had so far.
I'll play devil's avocado to that for a second. Nikola Jokic is a two-time MVP.
Yep.
You would have had millions and millions and millions of dollars to spend in free agency had you not given Michael Porter Jr. that contract. Do you think you would have still had as challenging a time this upcoming offseason with flexibility to recruit free agents?
Well, the Michael Porter Jr. deal, that you had your hands cuffed. What were you going to do? You couldn't let him leave. He had too much potential.
But he wasn't going to leave. He had one more year.
Yeah, you were going to have to pay him either way. So in a matter of time, somebody in the NBA was going to pay Michael Porter Jr. a lot of money, the exact same amount of money that you paid him. Now, it sucks. You got your hands cuffed. You got hurt. You paid a guy off potential, and that's a dangerous word to pay somebody off of. But you weren't going to be the guy that lets Michael Porter Jr. leave, and you certainly weren't going to, certainly when you're starting to see the fruits of that investment start to pay off and you're seeing the guy come to life a little bit there. I don't blame him for the Michael Porter Jr. deal. I think it sucks. I'm frustrated with Michael Porter Jr. more than anybody. And you know, not so much about getting hurt, but it's more about a mindset. The Tim Connelly decision on Michael Porter Jr. is probably the most questionable decision you could come up with that he's made so far in his tenure with the Denver Nuggets. It's also one of those deals that, like, hey, I never want to pay a running back. I never want to do that. But if Christian McCaffrey's on your team, are you really going to let him leave town? No, you're going to give him the deal because you're not going to be the team that lets Christian McCaffrey leave town. And I'm not trying to associate MPJ to the impact that Christian McCaffrey has. But the point is, every now and then, you got to take a little bit of a risk, and you end up paying somebody off of potential, which is obviously a dangerous world to live in.
Right. And when I look at that, Tyler, I mean, like you just said, they are handcuffed, but they're also handcuffed by their roster right now. They don't have a lot of flexibility. I found it very fascinating. At his postseason postmortem, he was mentioning how aggressive this franchise is going to be. Tim Connelly himself, we're going to be really
aggressive.
It was after the season. You know how it is. The postseason, end of season press conference. I like to call it a postmortem. But he was mentioning how aggressive he was going to be. And it was just very, very confusing to me because, like I said, they don't have roster flexibility at all. Mm-hmm. And their most tradable assets are injured, quite frankly. And so when I look at this team, I go, well, that doesn't make sense because by the numbers, you're already way over the tax. You have to pay Jokic. You're going to be even further over the tax. And is Stan Kroenke really going to go deep, deep into the tax to make this team a contender? It didn't add up.
So the answer to that is no, and that's why you need Tim Connelly, because Tim Connelly's the only guy that's got a long-term vision on how to build a basketball team from the ground up within the handcuffs that the owner is going to give him. No, the owner's never going to go out and spend that money.
He handcuffed himself by giving Porter that contract.
I didn't really have a choice. What are you going to do?
You make him prove it this year, and
you could have, but if you make him prove it, you lose him. It's as simple as that. By the time he gets close to free agency, it's toast. That's the way it works.
This is good conversation because there's a ton to get into here, especially regarding this. And I do agree with you. This is my questioning of it is not to take away from what Connelly has done, because his arrival marked the beginning of the new Nuggets culture. And the culture that they have in the building is maybe one of the most rare in all professional sports. And that includes bringing in Michael Malone, obviously drafting Nikola Jokic. But, I mean, let's be real. We didn't know he was a two-time MVP in the second round when they took him, right? I was listening to the Nuggets 360 online posted their video, the behind-the-scenes video of the trip to Sombor they did.
Yeah, yeah.
And even Connelly himself was like, look, we didn't know he was an MVP. And even Malone said, when we brought him to Summer League that summer, I didn't know he was an MVP.
Right, but that's what why Tim Connelly gets so much more credit, because he built this team off of value plays. That's what he did. He built the team off of value plays. It was a long-term vision. They're just starting to see the fruits of the labor, allegedly next year. Let's hope. That's what everybody tells me, at least. And and to think that somebody else could come in and have that type of vision, find guys, the diamonds in the rough, the way that he has. That's what you have to do here in Denver with this franchise. So losing Tim Connelly would scare the hell out of me.
All right, tons to get into. Why don't we just keep this rolling on the other side? It's The Drive on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Tyler, did you know that this is actually my ringtone?
No, I was unaware of that.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Okay, all right. For a specific person?
No, this is my ringtone for everyone. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's been that way forever.
It is. Well, no, not forever. Just like maybe last year or so, since this was supposed to come out maybe 3 years ago.
Years, hasn't it? Three?
Yeah, three. Well, it was announced that it was beginning. We can leave it on. Leave it up. It's about to crescendo. My point is this was starting production in 2017, and then they made it, and then Tom was like, hold up. I need another year to really edit this thing. They waited a year, and then, of course, the pandemic hit, and now it's been over 2 years, and we've been talking about this movie for 5 years.
Mm.
And I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh!
Yesterday, I heard you on with James Marilat.
Yes, yeah.
And you happened to... Wait. Do you hear the... Anyway.
All right, now you can tell it.
Now you can tell.
I mean, we got that thing loud enough. Goodness gracious.
You said yesterday to James,
yeah,
after James told you that he had secured early advance tickets, which, by the way, to James, he was asking you if that makes him old for doing that. It makes him old for not realizing that's just how you go to the movies now, is you reserve seats.
Yeah. Wow. I've not been to a movie in years.
Really?
Actually, I've been to one or two kids' movies, but I haven't been to like a movie theater by myself or with my wife on a date or anything.
Really?
No, I mean, it's probably been 3 years since I've been to a movie theater.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's such a movie
nerd. Quite frankly,
nerd.
I don't care if I ever go back to movie theater. Like, I could not care less if I ever end up in a movie theater ever again the rest of my life.
Well, for this one, you're going to change that statement like after next week.
Okay.
Because this needs to be seen on the largest screen possible. Of course, we're talking about Top Gun Maverick. And you had said to James, looking back on it, is Top Gun kind of a bad movie?
Yeah, it might be.
What did you say?
I like Top Gun. Don't get me wrong. I got the quotes down. I know them all, right? I mean, I've watched it probably 10, 15 times, just like anybody else over the course of their life. But, you know, if you look back on it, I mean, I think all the dudes just got tricked into thinking this was some, like, ridiculously dude movie. It's just chick flick. It's just total chick flick.
I mean, this is the best of the best we're talking about.
Yeah,
Total chick flick?
Right. That's exactly what it was.
Every good film has some sort of scintillating love story.
Sure.
Like teacher, student.
Don't get me wrong. I will watch Top Gun as soon as I can watch it from my couch. I will watch that thing.
You're not
going to
go?
I will look forward to it. No, I'm not going to the movie theaters for Top Gun. No.
So if you're not going for Maverick, then you're just never going.
No, I like I said, I really couldn't care less if I ever go to movie theater again. Last time I went, when I had to spend like $150 for my family of five just to get in the door, buy a popcorn and a Coke, I was
Where'd you go?
Well, anywhere. That's what they all are.
Yeah,
what are you talking
it's expensive.
About?
Well, if you go as much as I do, you get rewards and then all that stuff's free.
But you're still living the single life, which is a little bit different, right? When you go to a movie by yourself, that's not so bad. It's a little bit easier to splurge on a nice little Avalanche ticket when you're living by yourself, right? But when you got to go with the family of five.
Right. When your expense reports are due at the end of the month at home.
Things change a little bit.
Right. I see what you're talking about. Well, yeah, it still holds up just as well. And it's even better that there's no defined enemy because it's just ambiguous as the 80s,
right.
That 80s genre was. I mean, it's shirts off on the beach, synthesizers, it's that song you just heard.
Insanely unnecessary scene, if you really think about it.
Oh,
volleyball scene?
Oh, it's competition.
Entirely unnecessary. Who plays volleyball at night that's sweaty and is still wearing sunglasses when there's no sun out?
Oh, well, if you're a fighter pilot in Miramar,
yeah.
That might be like the one category of person that can actually do that and get away with it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like that, yes.
I mean, if I had pecs like that,
that's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. If they hit you with the Johnson & Johnson, you know, beforehand and got you greased,
yeah.
Then I think you'd be okay. Yeah. I think you'd be okay with it. By the way,
I also made a vow about 10 years ago to never watch another Tom Cruise movie.
But
I watch them all anyways. I mean, I've continued to watch every single one of them, even though I said I was never going to do it.
On the text lines from the 6871, that's my ringtone too. Attaboy.
There you go.
Attaboy. That's all I have to say. By the way, that movie, Maverick, just got a 5-minute standing ovation in Cannes.
Is that right?
5 minutes. That's a long time to stand and clap and
that
cheer.
That is. So it's being well received, huh?
Hey, it's got like a 97% by the critics on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, yeah. So that means it sucks. I mean, if the critics give it a good review, that means the movie sucks.
That means I'll see you next year at the Oscars is what that means. Before the last break, we were talking about Tim Connelly, who may be on his way out the door. And you were telling me how concerned you were about that. And I was kind of giving you a little bit of pushback, just saying, well, you know, before we say sky is falling here and here's my question, is I think Tim Connelly was extremely important to building this team.
Mm-hmm.
Is the culture not in place with what he's established so that if he left and someone that was there, Calvin Booth, who's the GM, hypothetically, if he took over, would the culture not remain?
Well, maybe. The culture would remain to the degree that we're never going to go out. We're never going to spend the top dollars on the free agents. We're never going to go to luxury tax. The culture would remain that whoever's in that role will be told, hey, you got to make this work without much. And if that's what you're referring to, the culture, yeah, I think that would remain the same. But that's why I think that Tim Connelly is so important, because he knows how to make that work, and he's found a way to make that work. Look, I'm not trying to give the Nuggets. I'm not trying to oversell the Nuggets. No, they haven't done anything ever.
Right.
In the big picture, they've not done anything. They got a back-to-back MVP, and that's cool. But they haven't actually accomplished anything. I do think that Tim Connelly is by far the most important person in that organization. Well, Nikola Jokic is the most important. But outside of Nikola Jokic, Tim Connelly is far and away the most important person in that building, and it's not even close. And I think what's inevitable is if Tim Connelly leaves, Kroenke will do the cheap thing. He will give Booth a slight pay raise. They probably won't even give him a new promotion. Quite frankly, you don't need to replace Tim Connelly's role. It's a little bit like the old John Elway role. It's like you're the president. As long as you have a GM, you don't need the Tim Connelly role.
Unless Josh Kroenke takes that role.
Well, yeah, but that would be a way different role. Josh Kroenke, that would be more of a on the business side.
Sure.
That wouldn't be on the basketball operations side. That would be on the business side. Now, maybe if Josh Kroenke wants to get involved, okay, that terrifies me. If you're talking about on the basketball side of the operations,
right.
That would absolutely
I think
terrify
it's a safe
me.
Assumption we're not talking about the basketball
but
side.
But what's inevitable is that Booth would get a slight pay raise. They would not go out. They would not hire from outside. They're not going to do that. And Michael Malone would get a bigger voice in personnel. And if you like Michael Malone, okay, I guess maybe you're cool with that. I do like Michael Malone. I think Michael Malone's done a great job with this team. I'm not a Michael Malone hater. I also don't think Michael Malone needs to be involved on the personnel side, and I don't think that he needs more power.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want a good synergy between your GM and your coach personnel-wise just because you want to make sure everybody's on the same page, right? Which
sure.
I do question about the Michael Porter Jr. contract because it took a long time for Malone to really, really put Michael Porter Jr. in the deep end. We're talking starter minutes. We're talking 30 minutes a night and a heavy role in the off. It took a while of him being here. And so I do wonder in the past if there has been a disconnect between coaching staff and front office. And I'm not alluding that that's what's happening here and that's why he's leaving at all, obviously.
I think it's fair to question whether there's something going on there.
I do.
There's only two things that could be happening right now. Number one, money, which is probably the most realistic thing. Money's what usually drives most negotiations. And if guys leave, it's because they want to make more money. And I'm not ever going to blame somebody that wants to go make more money. Or if it's not the money, then there is a feeling of feeling handcuffed. Like, I'm not able to execute my full vision because the powers to be are not allowing me to do that. So I don't think there's a disconnect between the coaching staff and Tim Connelly. But I do think it's potential that there is a disconnect between Tim Connelly and the Kroenkes.
Interesting. That is a dynamic that I would really like to dive into with you and see what you think that could possibly be. Because obviously we're speculating here. We don't really know. But at the same time, it is odd. I watched that, but like I mentioned in the previous segment, I watched the behind-the-scenes video the Nuggets released. And if you haven't done it, you should absolutely do it. They about their behind-the-scenes trip to present him the MVP in Sombor.
It was very cool.
It was super cool. And by the way, I'm thrilled that the NBA didn't announce it here so he could have that moment. Because that moment, you could tell, for him and his family, meant the world. And they already had the moment here. They'll have the moment, you know, game one next season where everybody gets to cheer for him because he wasn't here. But I'm glad that they could deliver it to him in that fashion, in that sense. And yeah, you watch that video and you think, wow, Tim's going to leave this. It feels like a family.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of head scratching, which is why I think maybe there is a disconnect. But again, Tim and Josh were there together, you know, so maybe you don't even talk about it. Maybe that's business is business. But at the same time, I do think it's interesting. I do think it's odd. But you also have to look at the list that Minnesota put out there. Wasn't it Masai Ujiri and Sam Presti and Tim Connelly? And there was one other name I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But point is, we're talking about the allegedly best front office minds in basketball, in Masai, in Sam Presti, and in Tim Connelly. And from what I understand, as far as the other candidates go, in Sham's report that he released in The Athletic, that Connelly would actually be the cheapest of all of those options, which I found very interesting considering the fact that the Timberwolves have new ownership and they need a new direction. So I credit Minnesota and their ownership for being as aggressive as they are in going out and targeting the right people.
Sure. You know, Tim Connelly is well-respected, and I hope that he's well-respected within this own organization as well. Feels like there's a very easy thing to do right now. See this thing through. See it through.
Right.
At this point, you've gotten this close. Don't let it bail now.
All right. Well, in the world of college football, things got spicy today. Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher had some choice words for one another.
We'll
share them with you next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbas and DMAC on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We are 1 week away from Maverick in theaters. Oh, the wait is almost over.
You press the right buttons with Raj. Raj's the movie guy.
Well, Raj knows me well, and Raj said, it's Top Gun Day. And I said, well, you better, but every day is Top Gun Day. But today especially, we've waited a while. In the world of college football, things are wet and wild. Things are, it's the Wild West in college football at the moment in time. With the introduction of name, image, likeness, and the ability to pay players and to sponsor players, it has changed the dynamic of how things are unfolding in the world of college football. And today, two titans in the industry went at each other.
Yes, they did.
Nick Saban was, where was he speaking? I don't know where he was speaking. It didn't seem to be a place where it was like, hey, I'm going to call him out here.
No, I mean, he was up on a stage at some event. I'm not even sure what it was either, but it wasn't like a typical press conference.
Right, and so he took some shots at a former assistant of his. Let's hear it.
We were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team. Made a deal for name, image, and likeness.
We didn't buy any player.
Right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. So if the NCAA doesn't get some protection from litigation, whether we got to get an antitrust or whatever it is, from a federal government standpoint, this is not going to change because they cannot enforce their rules, just like Nate said. We have a rule right now that says you cannot use name, image, and likeness to entice a player to come to your school. Hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at Miami that are going to play play basketball there for $400,000. It's in the newspaper. The guy tells you how he's doing it. So, but the NCAA can't enforce their rules because it's not against the law.
So, I love so much of this. I mean, the irony of Nick Saban being the first big voice to come out and complain about this. Like, oh man, this sucks. All of a sudden, the playing field is level. Mm-hmm. Oh wow. I mean, now other teams are able to pay their players also.
Right.
Absolutely unbelievable to hear Nick Saban out there doing that. Number one, calls out one of his former assistants by name. Calls out the school of Texas A&M. They have the number one recruiting class.
Claiming they bought. Yeah. Every player.
Okay, they bought every player. As if you didn't?
Right.
Are you telling me that your guys were not getting paid? Are you telling me that you didn't have $3 million that was passed out to your roster last year? Because there was. That's just what we are aware of. And that's probably a downgrade compared to what they used to pay their guys. I mean, now that it's on the table, it's like, now we got to make this a little bit more legal about it. It's just absolutely unbelievable. I love it. I love the fact that Nick Saban is all of a sudden panicked about it because there's other teams that are out there that now can pay players what their current worth is. He is right about a couple things, though. I mean, this is the Wild Wild West, and the NCAA has done this just completely backwards. Completely backwards. If you wanted to do this the right way, just pay the players a salary. That's what you should do.
Right.
And that's how you could keep the playing field relatively equal. And you could even enact some sort of salary cap, very similar to what you would do in the professional league. But the way they've got it set up right now is that you cannot pay the player an actual salary. They have to go out and they have to make the money based off of their name, their image, their likeness. So they could go to the local car dealership, and if they want to pay them $100,000, they could pay them $100,000. But it's awesome. I love it. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating to hear Nick Saban losing his mind over it.
All right, so before we get to Jimbo Fisher's response, because, he responded.
Oh, yeah.
When you were in school,
yeah,
how much would this have changed your dynamic?
Well, I don't know how much would have changed my dynamic. I mean, I was a relatively big-time recruit. I mean, I had a lot of offers, but I wasn't I ended up with, like, I think I had 20 offers over the course of the country.
Were you four or five-star?
I was a three-star.
Three-star.
So I was a three-star. I was a developmental guy. I was a potential guy. I hadn't developed him into my body. I wouldn't have gotten money like that coming out of high school. No, I was a developmental guy. But
Pasta J wouldn't have shelled out 100 Gs for you?
I highly doubt it, no. But, you know, at some point in time, you would have gotten a few bucks once you earned your value on that team. And once you became a starter, I would imagine at some point I would have gotten a few bucks. But guys like me, you know, we're not the ones that were or are ever going to benefit under the current setup.
Sure.
The current setup is only going to benefit the one percenters. And meaning
the five stars. The blue chip recruits.
Yeah. The five star guys, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the household names. If you would do it the right way, and if you would just pay players a salary, then a lot of guys would be able to benefit from it more than the current setup.
I agree with that to an extent, right? Because I think you're definitely talking about the blue chippers are going to get the $1 million deals, like no doubt about it. But for instance, one of the DBs who left CU and went to Oregon this year got $100,000 to mm-hmm. come to Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and that's still life changing money. So,
of course it is.
And he isn't a blue chip guy. So when I look at it, I go, yeah, there's different layers to it. But when we're talking about what Nick Saban just referenced, where he said Deion Sanders at Jackson State paid $1 million for a five star guy that would have went to D1 otherwise. I think it's fascinating that he's taking shots. Be careful throwing stones when you live in a glass house.
Please.
Let's hear what...
You telling me Nick Saban doesn't have a career's worth of skeletons built up in that closet?
Well, according to Jimbo Fisher, they didn't do anything wrong.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. And more importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their family. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach can come out and say this when he doesn't get his way. Or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. But when he's not on top.
Oh, wow. Well, first off, he's lying also.
Right.
We didn't ever pay for a player. You're lying. You absolutely paid for players. Now, what he's saying is the university never cut a check for these guys because you've got boosters that have got businesses and you found sponsorships. 100% they paid for players. So you're not innocent here, Jimbo Fisher, although I don't think he's guilty either. He's participating in the system as it's set up today. That's the way it's set up. So, Nick Saban, sorry, buddy. This is the way it's going to go. And all of a sudden, you will see some Giants come back to planet Earth. Now, Alabama, they're never going to come back to planet Earth. They're going to pay their players just like everybody else is going to. You know what's going to be fascinating, though? Who's going to be the first team that pops up out of nowhere? Who is SMU going to become relevant again?
Right. Who's got the one booster?
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, what small school has just got the most billionaires of any school in America, and all of a sudden they become a relevant football team because their boosters are now allowed to actually give money to the players?
You know what I thought when I listened to Jimbo there? It was, methinks he doth protest too much, right? I mean, come on. How defensive? We didn't do anything wrong. The ethics, the families. He's a, you know, good old Christian man down south, and he would have never even dared think of buying all of his players.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think that he did anything wrong. I mean, I think he paid for his players, but that's the way that it's currently
set
up.
I'm sure he did something wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can guarantee that there's violations there.
Nick Saban is right that the rules need to be clarified.
No doubt.
And this is absolutely wild, wild west right now. But that's what the NCAA has done. The NCAA, they're just tapping out. They're tapping out all over the place. Today, there was news that they're going to... Hey, if you don't want to have conferences within the Pac-12, if you don't want to have conferences within the SEC, do whatever you want to do. We're just tapping out. I mean, we're not going to have control over anything.
Anything you can do, I can do better, said Jimbo Fisher as he held up the mirror back to Nick Saban.
It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did it. They find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
Wow. All right, I was laughing over that. Hit that one again really quick.
It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
I want to get your reaction to that, but let's do it on the other side. This is The Drive on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Matt Smith in for D-Mac today on The Drive with Tyler Palumbus. Make sure you're chiming in the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Say it was a Well, we were talking about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher throwing barbs at each other today, airing everybody's dirty laundry out in public. And we had played a clip of Jimbo responding to Nick Saban, who essentially called out Texas A&M for, quote-unquote, buying all of their players.
Right.
And, you know, basically kind of turning the blame on them and says, look, NCAA, you know, federal government, if nobody does anything here, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They're going to keep getting good players, and they're not going to be our third stringers anymore, right? That's what's going to happen. So why don't we go ahead and roll that audio again, because Jimbo says, he came out and vehemently denied the allegations. And then he said, well, let me one-up you one. How about this, Nick?
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their family. And they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way. Or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. It's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, it's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
Dang, I mean, that's a hell of a statement. Go check out how God became God out there in Alabama. Man, you know, I don't think Jimbo Fisher is innocent here. I tend to take his side in this particular argument simply because it's so ironic that Nick Saban, of all people, is the one that is out there publicly complaining about this thing. You know, Nick Saban, you should be happy. You could do it all on the legal now. You could do it all the above the board. You don't have to worry about getting caught. Now, he never got caught previously. So I'm not saying Nick Saban personally handed somebody a bag of cash. But I guarantee you, you turn the other way 10 times or 20.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
And so here we are. We've got a situation that's set up that the way it is currently set up, it will be extremely damaging to college athletics. I won't even argue that. I'm all for players getting paid their worth. But unfortunately, when you don't regulate it, now you're going to have things that it's just going to get out of control. And, you know, even regulation, like I'm not saying guys should be capped. Hey, I think anybody is worth what your value is. So if you're 18 years old and you can bring in $10 million worth of revenue to a school, a university, well, if they want to pay you $8 million, then okay, that's what your worth is. I'm not talking about capping in. I'm not talking about any of that. But when you don't allow the universities to participate in it, now you're going to have all these legal gray areas. Jimbo Fisher, you know, to say you didn't pay for the players, well, you're lying. Of course you paid for the players. Now he might be technically right in saying they did it the quote unquote legal way, but of course they paid for the players.
By the way, Jimbo Fisher, do we need to remind people what his buyout was when he signed that massive contract that he signed?
Oh, my gosh.
His buyout last year was $95.6 million.
Insane.
No other college football coach has a buyout north of 50.
Yeah, that's that's absolutely nuts. He's making $9 million per year, but that's what the money is.
Of course. That's why Midnight Mel took off for East Lansing.
Yeah, I mean that's why it's so easy. It's so obvious. Of course the players deserve to be paid. It's as simple as that. If you don't think they deserve to be paid, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
You just don't understand basic economics.
Or here. The scholarship argument. I don't want to hear that either. That's not the same thing used to be.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say a scholarship isn't of value. Maybe that's appropriate. Maybe that's appropriate value for some players for the value that they bring to the school.
Sure.
Maybe you're a guy that you never contribute and you don't step on the field, but you were a part of the team and the scholarship, that's your appropriate value. But when you bring value to an organization, to a business, then in theory, in America, we would like to think that we can get paid what our worth is.
Right.
Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but ideally, wouldn't you all like to be paid what your worth is?
Well, the NCAA has been operating for a very, very, very long time under the veil of amateurism and saying, look, you know, this is amateur athletics, you know, meanwhile pocketing millions and millions and millions and millions off of what these kids are doing out there competing. And so, yeah, certainly, is it a complex situation? Well, what, you know, if you're going to regulate it and you have a salary like you had mentioned in the previous segment, well, is it applied the same to the women's soccer team as it does to the football team, right? Or is it based upon how much revenue that sport generates for the school? There's so much complexity to it that I understand why it's not easy to regulate, first of all.
No, it's not easy to regulate. And there will be sports that are hurt by this, and there will be schools that are hurt by this. But that's sort of survival of the fittest.
That's
the way that America works. That's called capitalism. And that's the way America's been set up for a very long time. It sucks when your school is going to be impacted. By the way, my school will be impacted.
You better believe
Colorado will be impacted.
They're already impacted.
We don't have that kind of money. I'm not a fool. There might be a little bit of money. There might be a few people that will step in and be able to help out.
Right.
But there's no question that the University of Colorado is not going to be able to compete with Oregon or Washington or USC. I mean, USC, yeah, I would agree. USC, they should be dominant from now until forever. Now that they're finally able to actually pay their players legally.
Right.
That is the key. How the heck is USC not going to be back on top? I don't know. Like, I get why he took that job.
I don't know if necessarily the paying the players is necessarily going to swing the pendulum for USC too much, strictly because they've been doing that for a while. So, you know, it really hasn't worked out for them the last couple of years. So, you know, I think it's interesting, Tyler. This entire dynamic is fascinating to me because it wasn't just Jimbo Fisher who responded. If you'll remember, Nick Saban also called out Deion Sanders, who is the head coach at Jackson State, for paying Travis Hunter Jr. $1 million to come to their school. And Deion Sanders responded on Twitter this morning saying, "You best believe I will address that lie Coach Saban told tomorrow. I was awakened by my son that sent me the article stating that we paid Travis Hunter Jr. $1 million to play at Jackson State. And here's where everything is really going to start to heat up." He says, "We as a people don't have to pay our people to play with our people.
Oh, wow. Well, that's getting pretty complex. That's getting into an area that's a little bit that's a little bit deeper than what we're talking about right now.
No doubt about it. But I think it's interesting because you're going to start to see coaches get really defensive if people get called out.
Well, I don't know why they even. I wouldn't get defensive at all. I'd be like, hey, I'm playing the game.
Right.
These are now what the rules are, and I'm playing to win.
Or just don't respond.
Do you guys want to win? I want to win. That's what I'm doing. These are the rules as they're set up, and I'm capitalizing on the rules. Jimbo Fisher, he doesn't have to apologize for anything. He's playing within the rules as it's currently set up right now.
I agree. And I think, you know, this coupled with the announcement that divisions, for the most part, are going to be, you know, done away with in college football. The Pac-12 came out and announced that they will essentially have the two teams with the best winning percentage that season represent the conference in the conference championship game instead of the Pac-12 North champion and the Pac-12 South champion representing the conference in the championship game, which had been the way it had been the last 11 years. And so I think that's great because college basketball already doesn't have divisions. They just have a conference. To me, I have no problem with this. The only problem for CU, Tyler, quite frankly, is it might make it harder to ever get there.
Oh, of course it does. 100% it does. It makes it nearly impossible, but that's the way it's set up. And for me, it comes down to this. I want players to be paid what their worth is. When you have got value, you should be paid what your value is. I'm all about that. It's messy. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how to make this thing clean. I don't know how to make it so it's as unpainful as possible. But this is the beginning of the end of the NCAA as we know it. But what comes next, it isn't just that there aren't conference title games. Next, there won't be an SEC. There won't be a Pac-12. There will be a super conference that will be just full of teams that say, we don't need the NCAA, so we're actually going to pay our players because we don't want to play by the governing by your governing laws.
Right. There's tons of reaction just pouring in on the text line. Maybe we can circle back to it. But up next, it is game two tonight at Ball Arena, Avs and Blues, after that overtime thriller on Tuesday night. Tyler and I will be in the building. We'll get into game two and the big story of the day coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.